lost to ignorance and confusion, three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil for episode 166. Woo-hoo. We're broadcasting to you live on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto and streaming to you live on the web at songtalk.ca/livestream.
Woo!
Song Talk Radio is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of, guess what?
Songwriting.
I thought
very
it was bacon.
Good.
Bacon.
That too. Brand new songwriters are established professionals, and on the show we share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become a little bit better at writing songs. I'm your host, Neil Modi, and joining me tonight are the quote-unquote fantastical members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team.
Here we go.
We have Brave Sir Bruce.
Ah, yes, reporting for duty, sir.
We have Fairy Tale Phil.
Hold on, I have a problem with that name.
Yeah, too bad. And handling our social media onslaught tonight, Valiant Vanessa.
Yay, Vanessa. Oh,
she is valiant.
Eitan is still on leave, but we hope to see her back next week.
Yes, it's going to be great.
Yes. So. During the show, join in the conversation and send your comments and questions to @SongTalkRadio on Twitter, and we'll share them in real time. And please stop by our website, songtalk.ca, find out how you can be a guest on our show. Tonight's a very special show. We have Unleashed Dreams. Unleashed Dreams is a self-development-focused music duo specializing in epic, new age, neoclassical, and world music. Unleashed Dreams is made up of Lindsay Gay Walker, who is a British-Canadian singer and also a transformational life coach. Sean Michael Pattison is a Canadian composer, music producer, and pianist. Their mission is to create epic music and songs to empower people to transform their lives and live their dreams with greater self-awareness, optimism, happiness, and peace.
Yeah.
Their vision is to be part of a global movement that is helping to raise human consciousness for a better world.
Yes.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio.
Yes, let's do it.
Sean and Lindsay, great to have you guys.
Very exciting.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
We're happy to be here.
Yeah. That's an incredibly...
Is that, were you throwing me a cue there?
No. I'm saying that's an incredibly optimistic...
You've been like a well-oiled machine.
It's a great vision, yeah.
It's nice to have music tied to a vision and a set of values, and that's not something we've had much here. I mean, people have values within their songs, but to make your whole recording career have that mission, so cool. Because we need to raise consciousness before it's too late.
That's right.
Yeah. We're having Donald Trump in May. We're going to try to raise his consciousness through music.
Global movement.
Maybe
right
we just
there.
Play some of your stuff.
I know somebody who rents a crane.
What? A crane?
A lot of power there.
Power, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
we got the best choruses. The best choruses.
The best verses.
Best cranes. The best cranes.
There's a coach, there's a life coach who's since passed called Jim Rohn, and he actually was Tony Robbins' coach, and he said that if he could coach through music, then he would, because music touches people's hearts and people's souls, and that really moved both of us and was quite inspirational for us in creating Unleashed Dreams.
Yes.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of research now about the brain, how the brain responds to music. And the study I heard, and I know this firsthand, is with seniors who have...
Alzheimer's.
Yeah, they have Alzheimer's. If you get them around a piano, they can remember every word to a song from 1925 or something, or 1930.
Yeah. Or if they play the music that they haven't heard in like 50 years,
all of a sudden
the words. It starts, you know, connecting synapses again and all the rest of it. Yeah,
I saw it was a whole documentary on that.
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
absolutely.
Cool.
Is that, what do you call it, neuroplasticity sort of thing?
Yes.
Kicks in.
Yes.
Right, and also because music... music bridges this both sides of the brain, or something like it engages both the creative.
Yeah,
and
they've
the
done
side.
Studies on that too. Yeah. Where there was a book a while back, I forget the author's name, but it was called "This Is Your Brain on Music," and he was a rock musician who became a neuroscientist, and so he was talking about that. So it was a really fascinating book. I'll have to look that up and figure out the author's.
Yeah, we'll put on the show.
Yeah, put on the show. But but he was basically talking about that. How especially when you're playing music.
I actually have that book.
You have that book? Yeah. I have that book, too. It's buried somewhere. But it's in a
your
box,
brain on music.
Your brain on, this is your brain on music.
Oh, I'd love to read it.
Yeah. And he's just talking about that, how it does sort of to fire off both sides of the brain, when you're playing, more so than when you're listening.
The other thing is that music is an international language, because if you strip away the lyrics and you have the music tropes, the various phrases and melodies and things, that you can move people internationally. Like, look at some of the big superstars that toured all these countries where they don't really know what they're singing. You know, like when they toured to Asia and that, the American pop stars, right? They've learned their lyrics just by mimicking them. They may not know the meaning, but it's the melody and the beat and all that that's so powerful.
So, Sean and Lindsay, do you guys have like a I don't want to call it a strategy, but you have an intent to actually access like a global market? Like, you literally want your songs to be heard worldwide?
Yeah, definitely. The focus is, because my style, when I'm composing and producing, I really like epic, because epic is a really visual style of producing. You can kind of see, you know, it can really transform and really hammer.
What do you mean by epic, though?
Epic, kind of like...
cinematic?
Yes, cinematic, like where you actually kind of fall into the film sort of feel of something.
Okay.
Like, for example, like My Heart Will Go On, when it's being sung inside of the movie Titanic, that arrangement is very epic. Mm-hmm. It, you have the, you know, sort of it's a huge encompassing power behind the emotion. And another person that sort of writes in epic style would be Hans Zimmer, has that sort of epic style. Another band is E.S. Posthumous. They do a lot of they mix kind of pop rhythms and stuff like that. You'll have that in there, but you'll have a lot of symphonic power behind it. And sometimes the symphonic power can be a real symphony, or sometimes it can be layers of synthesizers, but it has this sort of big wave. Mm-hmm. But then to take that and tactically match it with very, very powerful lyrics that really move you, then you have this really massive, unstoppable force that can go out and create massive resonance, and that's the goal of the album and everything that we do.
And I think where I think it lends really beautifully for me and Sean is that while I have my background many, many years ago in musical theater, and now I'm coming back to that much older but reconnecting with that dream, during my lifetime I've gone into psychology and life coaching and transpersonal psychology, and that's beyond personal, which is the spiritual aspect of the person. And so I have really traveled a deep journey both within myself and with other people. And so to bring that then into music to support people's personal development through the music, that when we talk about helping raise the consciousness of the planet for a better world, it's about using the lyrics with the depth of the music, the epic music that Sean's talking about, for people to reconnect with the core part of themselves and let the music support that, to support that inner growth. So that is kind of, we feel like that we work very well together in that way.
And
borrow things from each other.
And it's interesting with the two pieces that we brought, they may seem very different, but if you think of them in an epic sense of, you know, pulling very vast weight of emotion in it, they start to make sense. Like one song is more of an introspective sort of journey, and the other one is holding you or getting you through a crisis. So it took two different styles in each one. Like, for example, the second song is called Trust and Let Go. And so if, you know, when the world is, you're being overcome by the world, you know, sometimes you need a very simple mantra to get through, because there's just too much coming at you at that time. Sometimes a very simple message that's repeating can get you through. You know, the very simple times, you know, sometimes like a self-empowered line, like, you know, I'm stronger than this, I'm stronger than this, I'm stronger than this. So trust and let go is the same sort of thing. It's a repeating mantra that builds, and then releases. And then the point of the song when we were putting it together was to achieve that whole wave of emotion. But because we knew somebody, if they were trying to deal with something like that, probably doesn't need a lot of distraction, the repetition, they can kind of sit in that and just absorb it. Whereas the other song is more about kind of, you know, gets you to think. And so it's more of a thinking journey.
Is this what you might call healing music? Like music that seeks to heal the soul and bring someone more close to who they really are?
I think any inner journey has the aspect of both healing and both inspiring. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want it just to be this is about healing. This is also about inspiring you. So unleash dreams. It's about inspiring you to really live your dreams. I think the main message behind it is to stay connected to your true self. So often in life, we can get derailed from, you know, divorce or somebody dies or our job fails or different things that derail us from ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's about the music, about reminding us who we really are at our core and supporting people with that.
I really, when I do vocal coaching, I've done some work with Paul on the weekend on vocal coaching. Oh. And he says, part where this song is voice changed. And then I said, what is that thing you did in the middle? Oh, that's my rock voice. I said, well, it doesn't sound like you. It sounds like somebody else's rock voice. So can you just sing through the whole song as yourself and see what happens? And he did. And he had a bit of a shift in the chorus because he wanted a lift, right? Something grittier. But then it was Paul's rock voice, right? Because so often we borrow from somewhere else, or we put on a persona, would be the equivalent in terms of personality. We put on a persona because, well, that's the thing that will impress, because they're not going to be impressed by little old me, right?
Yeah, as a producer, that's one thing.
You produce lots of artists, so it's the same thing.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. When I sit down with somebody, the first goal I have when I'm working with an artist is I say, "Who are you?" I sit down with them, and I really want to see if they know who they are enough to create something, to envision
and to translate that. Yeah, yeah.
And so I basically I'll get them to say it and sing something, and then I'll say, if I get a feeling that they're doing that, if I think they're trying to sound like Adele or they're trying to sound like some other rock musician, I'll say, is that you trying to sound like them or is that you? And then eventually, sometimes I'll stop the session and say, no, I'm not feeling this. I'm not feeling you. And we have to come back sometimes a month later to get, okay, now there you are. Now we found you. Because I find sometimes as a producer, I chose to – there's different styles of producers. Me, myself, I like to know that nobody knows that I produce something, because all
you're
they
invisible.
Know – that I'm invisible. Mm-hmm. They know. They're just hearing the artist. That's what I like about Quincy Jones. There's so many Quincy Jones tracks out there, and many people don't know that he produced it, because it doesn't sound like a Quincy Jones song. It just sounds great, and it sounds like the artist.
That's interesting. It's in the world of directing as well. I have that feeling. Like when I see a film and I go – oh, the director's very much evident in the film. I don't like that so much, especially when it doesn't really serve the story. And it's a stylistic decision that they've made. Oh, I'm going to make a film like I want to make a film, right? So, but why don't we hear one of your songs?
Yeah,
would that be a good idea?
Yes, and our understanding is this is a Song Talk Radio exclusive.
Yeah.
The album is coming out in
the summer.
In the summer,
but we're releasing the first single on the 7th, we hope, of this month.
In 3 days.
In 3 days. So this is very special for us.
Is this the single?
This is the first single that's coming out.
Oh, deep. Okay.
And so everyone listening here, apart from the few people we've shared it with just to get their feedback, they are hearing it for the first time.
That's so exciting.
Okay. All right. And the song is called?
Deep.
Deep.
explaining all that I've been feeling.
Lyrics and lead vocals, Lindsay Gay Walker. Composition, arrangement, and production, Sean Michael Pattison. And we have Sean and Lindsay in the studio right now. This is a gorgeous, beautiful song. Mm.
Indeed. Beautiful arrangements.
I felt like, well, I get the cinematic piece now, the epic.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that this music would be so applicable in film. Do you have any plans to, share it with filmmakers? Because it would be a great piece against visuals, or are you planning to do a video yourself?
Well, we have a music video for it that will be coming up this week with it.
Oh, great. Will that be on YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it'll be on the website, it'll be on YouTube, and on our Vimeo through our website.
Cool.
And when you said about the film thing, mm-hmm. My answer to that is anything is possible. I trust it to the universe.
Yeah.
So I don't say no. I don't say yes. I say sure, whatever.
See what the response
happens. It happens, right?
Yeah.
See
exactly.
What the response is. Yeah.
We would love that. I mean, if that were picked up to be put in a film, that would be absolutely beautiful. And again, it's like trusting what I call the spiritual choreography. It's like wherever things move and however it's supposed to be, let it happen. I loved what Sean said one time. It's like you create the song as like a child. And as a child, for all of us who have children, we know very well, you may think, oh, I'm going to bring my child up this way or that way. But when a child is born, it has its own spirit and its own life and its own path. And the song is, in a sense, the same. So you guide it and nurture it. And then when you release it, then it's off to do whatever it wants to do.
Yeah.
And you may have all kinds of wishes for it, but actually you no longer have control.
I've only done one album, my first album. I did one album years ago, and that's exactly how I felt. I thought, I have to let go of this now. And a buddy of mine was up at his cabin, and he said, I was listening to your album. It was really cool. Listen, I thought, people listen to it? You know, it's like I suppose your children, like, they're off in their own world and they're doing their own thing, but then they're existing, you know, independent from me. It's like an offspring.
In fact, I've actually found that, like, during the process of writing itself, like, you start writing a song, and it and regardless of what you first intended, maybe it wants to go into a different direction. It has its own character at that point.
And sometimes you have to catch yourself. Like, sometimes, you know, think, I'm going to write this dance pop song.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the song starts screaming at you, I'm not a dance pop song. I'm actually a country song.
Yes.
And then sometimes you say, well...
So for this song now, did this start off as an intention, and then you kind of did the music, or did it start off with, you know, playing the piano, and then...
Actually, it started off, Lindsay sort of started the song, so I'll...
I'll just say as briefly as I can, I was actually, after living in Dubai, I actually lived in Vienna, and I had just got divorced, and I was going through a very emotional time, and during that time, I was having coaching, and with a man, actually, he was in Vancouver. We were doing it through Skype, and his name's called Dove Barron. And the song, when you hear the song, you ask me what emotional place I've been living in. And that's actually, it's like me thinking about that coaching session and about how deep do I really want to go in looking at my life. And this actually came from a real place, a real live situation that was happening to me at that time. And so I wrote the words, and I wrote it into a song, which actually was initially a little bit more, like Sean would say, like a country song in terms of its feel. It was very different to how it is, but the lyrics were the same, apart from the bridge was a bit different.
While she was in Vienna, I hadn't even
I was living in Vienna. Mm-hmm. And so that was the beginning of me tapping back into, I had a vision, I put it out to the universe, and I said, I want to sing again. I put it out, and I did a visualization 3 times a day. I want to sing again. I want to connect with singers. And I then, from Vienna, I joined the singer-songwriter meetup group while I was living in Vienna.
Oh.
Because I knew I was coming here, and I wanted to meet other musicians. And then Sean actually said, oh, welcome to the singer-songwriter group online.
Because I was managing, as I do, the Facebook side of everything. And so I welcomed her, all that kind of stuff. And then
I started talking a bit about, you know, what I'm doing in psychology. And he actually was supporting another musician at that time and asking people to share his post. So I was sharing the post. And then he came and he thanked me. Thank you so much, you know, for sharing... you know, this musician's, you know, they were doing a competition, and he said, oh, it would be great to meet up. I like your post and things. So I said, well, that would be great, but actually I'm living in Vienna. And I said, but I'm coming in a few months to move to...
How many years ago was that? Was that when you were more involved in the Songwriters Roundtable then? You were living in Toronto, were you?
Let me think. On and off.
On and off, yeah.
Yeah, it was just after about a year after Cecile.
Yeah.
The event you were at Cecile.
Oh, okay, yes. Cool. Because we should say here that this radio show came out of a thing called the Songwriters Meetup, the Songwriters Roundtable Meetup, which Sean was instrumental in getting going. Instrumental. You see how I put a music phrase in there? So this
clever.
Is kind of coming home full circle. So you actually signed up to this Songwriters Roundtable Meetup
in Toronto,
from Vienna. So there you go, international connection.
Totally international. So then it's a really beautiful link. So then I came, but I just went to one meetup. Then I went back to Austria again because I was going to wait till the summer for my son to graduate till I properly moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sean and I had started talking online. And so literally I arrived, and part of my visualization was to meet someone who also loved music and things.
With iPod in hand.
I arrived with my iPod in hand with the original version of Deep.
Yeah.
And so 2 days after I arrived, we met. So he loved the song, but he said he would want to do a different version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was how it happened. So then that was born, and we started dating, and the rest is history.
Yeah, so I asked her, I said, okay, I love the lyrics, and you've done a great job with the song, but it's a country song. And we were talking about kind of – and I'm moving it to more of a – ethereal new age sort of vibe on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if I'm going to do this, do you mind if we completely depart the lyrics from the original melody?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll completely write a whole new melody structure, everything. And so that is the new version of it. It sounds completely different.
What is the time signature there? I was counting a 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4 with
it. It's in 3/4.
It's in 3/4?
It's 3/4.
Like you said, like it was
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's like 6 over 4, is it?
1, 2, 3. I counted 3, 4. It could be 6, 8.
Yeah, because sometimes they split into different.
Depends where you're.
Yeah, exactly. What pocket you're
in. But what I was going to say about the song is it had this driving thing, which was that dunk, 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 which kept it moving forward. And then you had this beautiful legato strings and legato vocal over top of it, right? So the contrast, which I'm really into, is that contrast between the underscore, like the beat moving like this. So it has this kind of marching forward, encouraging, you know, and then this beautiful, you've got cellos and basses in there. Are you using samples or synths, or how did you do all that stuff?
I wish I had the real things.
Yeah, of course.
We have, for certain tracks on the album, there are a few live performances, but pretty much everything I did with the layering of the libraries that I use.
And, which libraries do you use, actually?
I use lots. My favorites right now, they change depending on what style I'm doing. I really like CineSamples. I use VSL, Vienna Symphonic Library, a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. I use, what's the other one, Spitfire. I use ADO. I use, East-West. Library,
and they're not cheap.
Yeah, they're all the high end stuff.
Yeah.
It's very, very expensive stuff. But because I'm a realist, and I really like, especially when you're talking about those cellos and legatos and stuff like that. I love cello, and I've always wanted to play one. I'm eventually going to learn it. So I knew I wanted that cello breathing in there.
That's the baritone. That's the male. Male thing.
Well, they say that the cello is the one instrument that approximates the human voice most closely.
Well, the male voice,
for sure.
Yeah,
cellos can get pretty high too. What I'm wondering. So you, Sean, you took Lindsay's lyric and then rewrote the entire melody.
Yeah, exactly.
He said he didn't want to hear the old melody at all.
Mm.
So we wrote out the lyrics, and then he rewrote it.
Yes.
Beautifully so.
I want to talk about the lyrics after the break, but we're just going to just mention that if you're joining us listening to Song Talk Radio, that's the show you're listening to. It's Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU, 1280 AM in Toronto. And we're streamed live on songtalk.ca/livestream. Tonight, our guest is Unleashed Dreams, and they're unleashing as we speak here tonight. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so tweet in your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio, or you can send us an email, feedback@songtalk.ca. We'll share your thoughts in real time. And you can find links to all the products, books, and services we mention on Song Talk Radio on the resources page or the resources page, songtalk.ca/resources. And coming up on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks, we have April 11th, Charlotte and Sarah. Yes. And April 18th, the Performing Rights Show, where we'll talk about how you get performing rights and make sure you're paid for things. And right. And we also, April 25th, we have Scrape. And stay tuned for that. If you're in Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup. That's Thursday, April 20th from 7 to 10 at the Transac Club on Brunswick. It's free to join on the meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Please join up and tell us you're coming so we can make a pot of tea. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details. And back to you, Neil.
Thank you, Bruce. Okay, and you can actually find the lyrics to these songs on the website. Is that right, Phil?
That's correct.
At this very moment.
Yeah, songtalk.ca is on the front page, so you can follow along as we're talking about them.
I had something I wanted to say about the lyrics.
Yes, please, Bruce.
May I? Can I borrow your lyric sheet there, Phil? Yeah, the other one. Thank you. we have our lyric sheets here, but I don't have access to the internet. I wanted to ask you on the lyric side. I'm basically a lyricist. That's where I come from, my background. And what if I was to rewrite this with you, what I would want to see is some progression through the chorus repeat. So it's not a pop song. It's obviously, it feels more like musical theater, epic musical theater. Mm-hmm. And you keep asking, tell me how deep do I want to go? Tell me how deep do I want to go? And I thought that it would be really interesting at the very end. You want to flow freely, living in your truth and feel your own power. Mm-hmm. And now I know how deep I can go. So mm-hmm. if you really, I mean, I'm just curious about yes. why you stayed on a repetition of the same thing rather than moving to some resolution.
I think that resolution doesn't come so easily. Mm. And that's exactly the point. I was in this flux. I was in this transformation. I was in this middle of this change in my life, huge change. And so it's that kind of feeling of one, you know, two steps forward, one step back. And that's the feeling in the song. And so it's, yes, I envision this future. Yes, I want to feel free. Yes, yes, yes. But how deep do I want to go?
Mm.
And so it's that, I'm scared.
So who are you asking to tell you? Was it the person you're in conversation with? Or,
well, you see, the coach.
Or yourself?
It's an inner journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the coach is saying to me, so, you know, what emotional place have you been living in, Lindsay? Mm. And what do you aspire to? What's your vision? And so it's like I've just had the coaching session and go for a walk and I'm thinking about things and it's like, yeah, and you kind of in your mind as you're walking, and if you imagine just walking, going for a walk and just thinking about those questions you've just been asked, and you're kind of, it's like, do I want to go down that rabbit hole? Do I really want to go down that rabbit hole? Actually, that's too freaking scary. I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
But should I? And so it's these questions, and then you're kind of taken off into that vision of, yeah, what do I want? Oh, and you're kind of taken into that place within yourself, I'd love this, and to feel free, and to be my truth, but, and then you get to...
So there's a bit of a conflict, actually, inside between the reaching
exactly.
out and the pulling back, right?
Exactly.
Which is that moment when you're about
exactly.
to turn the corner. Phil, what did you...
Can I just respond to what you were saying, Bruce,
yeah,
just
no,
for a moment?
No, no.
Okay.
Fine. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I mean, you were saying...
I understand that reasoning,
by the way. Yeah, well, yeah, totally, right?
Unresolved.
The way you were seeing it was like a musical theater piece. I was seeing it more like a meditative, new age kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the chorus is actually... Well, it's fascinating for a couple of reasons. I think the chord choices there are really, really quite magnificent. Like they kind of hold the tension and a bit of release.
What are the chords?
Really cool.
That's a tough one to ask me because I play by ear and
I
change them dynamically many, many times off the top of my head. I could not tell you.
It's not like it's in the key of E and here we go.
I think I changed the key 3 or 4 times in it.
Yeah. So it's not important.
And
sorry,
cool.
Neil, go ahead.
And it's basically plus on my transpose on my keyboard.
Yeah,
I don't know where my...
But as far as
I'm going to have to transpose it later for an orchestra, but...
Mm-hmm.
My
that will come out.
Orchestrator mm-hmm. will deal with that.
But as far as the lyric is concerned, tell me how deep do I want to go?
Yeah.
It's sort of, I mean, that does suggest to me a kind of introspective
yes.
kind of look at yourself.
Yes.
And it's just posing the question.
Yeah.
So you're not really suggesting an answer or a resolution.
Yeah.
You're just posing the question. And,
yeah.
and to me, that is the kind of meditative
exactly.
Sort of state, right?
It is. It is that, you know, as I said, when we go into those deep places in ourselves, It is a meditative place in a sense, because when you do meditation, you do go deep into yourself. So you're using the right words in that. But it's that introspective, as I said before to Bruce, do I want to go down that rabbit hole
mm-hmm.
or not?
Yeah, it's fear.
Fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. But that pull, it's that core. I think it is we're always moving towards wholeness and we're always being pulled back to our true core self. And so it's kind of that higher spiritual part of us, which is saying, you may be scared of that place, but actually that is the place where you're going to find your freedom, where you're going to find yourself, where you're going to find the way, you know, it's like, you know, you have to go through to come, you have to go in the dark place to find the light.
They say there's no such thing. One of my favorite authors, Anthony DeMello, said there's no such thing as fear of the unknown because you don't know what it is. You're actually fearing the loss of the known, right?
Yes,
so you're losing something you know, and that is a void. So in your mind, that's a void. I'm going someplace that I don't know, therefore... Scary.
It reminds me of Pema Chodron. She's
a
famous
Buddhist.
Buddhist nun.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of the people that I kind of... that I hold a lot of ideals from.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about how when a lot of people, their angst or their all their sadness and things comes from either their fear or being in the past and not being in the present. And part of that is avoiding any kind of discomfort. And what I like about this sort of thought process is that Growth, I believe, just for myself, comes from your ability to understand that that which you fear, that which you're avoiding, is that which helps you grow. And so to fearlessly, if you can learn how to fearlessly encourage yourself to be excited about that which you're afraid of, because you know you're going to become a better person if you can get through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's difficult to become excited about it. But what you do find is once you've entered into those dark spaces and come through, the next time something comes up, which is scary, you can then remind yourself, oh, remember when that was so tough and I actually dared to go in it and I actually came through it? And so that can encourage you to keep moving forward rather than to stay stuck.
And we should remind our songwriters out there that this applies to songwriting. So I know one thing I try to do is one scary thing a day. And it could be the smallest thing that I'm a bit fearful about, but I know it'll be moving forward in my life. Mm-hmm. And certainly in songwriting, I found that I got really stuck on verse, first chorus, bridge, chorus, and I got stuck on guitar chords that I know. And to push out of that, I found collaboration is the only way. And it sounds like your collaboration has moved both of you, like 1+1=∞, right? So for our songwriters out there, if something scares you in your songwriting, that's the place to look at and say, well, let's just try that anyway.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've just got one quick question for you, Lindsay.
Yeah.
In your, given all the stuff that we just talked about, do you think it works better as a country song or is better as a new agey meditative song? What do you think?
I love the new agey meditative song because that resonates more with me, in especially with the transformational coaching and the whole bigger vision of wanting to raise the consciousness of the planet. I feel that was its progression. When I was in Vienna, it was its first step. It's how it needed to be. I just put it, when I first thought of it, I rang a very dear friend of mine who was also a musician called Gerhard Loz in Vienna. And I said, I've got this song in my mind. What do I do? What do I do? And he said,
let it out.
He said, because he said, garage band on your Mac, just put it on and just sing into it. So I did. And then I said, oh, can we put some music together with it? So I went over and I said, this is what I'm, because I had the melody in my mind, and he put some, we put some basic, instrumental just chords and a beat and things to it there. And we actually even did our own little video and everything for it. And it was a great birth of that song.
Right.
So it was, I had a moment when I sat here tonight, because it's the first time I've ever done anything on radio, so it's a real honor, and thank you all for that. And I thought, wow, that was something that started off from the coaching, birthed in that way, through the Mac, just I hadn't a clue how to do it.
And she's grown up now.
And she's grown up. Then
she's
it comes,
home.
And then Sean births it into this absolutely beautiful arrangement, And you sit here and you can see the progression of this song. And it's just so lovely to see
that. I think we should hear the next song.
I think we should definitely hear the next song.
We could talk about this song for a long time. I like Epic, by the way. I'm going to call this one From Country to Epic. That one. We just heard. So this one is called Trust. And anything you'd like us to listen for, our listeners to listen for in it that they might want to notice? Or
how would it fall into the rhythm?
Just fall into the rhythm.
The mantra.
Go
rhythm.
With it.
Yeah.
And I would say, just to add, let it hold you. This song is about holding you.
Okay. Here we go. Right, trust.
We go. Okay, very nice. Beautiful. That was a little pause in the studio. That was Trust, lead vocals, Lindsay Gay Walker, composition, arrangement, and production by Sean Michael Pattison, and lyrics by both Lindsay Gay Walker and Sean Michael Pattison.
You know, I loved is all this ethereal sound and all these beautiful, you know, lyrics about feelings and all that, and says, everything's going to be okay. I like that. It was like very from the esoteric to the down to earth. Everything's going to be okay. It's just fine. And I love that because it connects it to the ordinary day. Mm-hmm. It's not pretentious at all. It's like, this is just truth. And that language in that lyric just connected it to like a friend saying to you, it's going to be okay. Just chill.
Phil, right? What did you think?
Well, it's, beautiful production. Certainly made me think of Enya.
Yes.
You know, Sail Away, that huge hit.
And Annie Lennox. To me.
And
that song at the end of Lord of the Rings, it was an Enya song.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first one kind of reminded me.
I think it was the harmonies had that kind of Irish feel, the close harmonies on the vocals.
And we
use
a lot of tracks, like like this one of the songs we're working on now got up to about 270 tracks. Even on the vocals on that one, I'd say we were probably 60 tracks.
Wow. That's a lot, and
that's how Enya does a lot of layering too. And that, if you really want that ethereal wall of soft, you know, cloud vocal, you got to layer layer.
And you can't do it with a plugin.
No, you can't. We bought the plugin, and I don't use it.
Sean is pretty amazing. Sean's pretty amazing at doing those harmonies. So he'd say, okay, I've got another one for you, Lindsay. Okay, do it like this. Okay, and I'm just like waiting. Okay, the next one. Okay, and another one. And he would just hear all these harmonies in his head, and then just the next one. But then, you know, he'd have to like go all through them and check them. And
it's like building a nice soup.
Very true.
All the ingredients.
No, I do have an interesting question, because with this and the other song, and there's different ways of approaching communicating ideas, and you certainly go straight right on the head. I mean, you're not...
There's no dilly-dallying.
There's no... I mean, they're very carefully considered songs, but they're not very subtle songs. You know, which is an interesting approach.
Well, there's no metaphor.
Some people feel that you can get more strength out of a metaphor than you can with, you know, going
straight
go over the there or do that. You know, which is it's an interesting approach. I mean, have you thought about possibly not going straight right on head and maybe kind of going a bit more?
Well, we do have some songs that have metaphor when it calls for it. Like, for example, when somebody who is in like deeply stressed about something probably isn't going to be thinking about metaphor at the time. They're going to need to be sort of held in that moment. Mm-hmm. And also, if somebody's deeply trying to sort something out, their thoughts are already complex alone with that. However, we have another song coming up on the album called Onward to Glory, and there's the whole thing's full of metaphor. There's the great winds at sea. It's a very visual song. It's very epic.
I think your arrangement is metaphor. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got simple words, which I'm with you, because on my album everything is straight ahead. It's a story. I just tell it like it is, right? And then I listen to people use a lot of metaphor, and I go, okay, well, that's different. It's not right or wrong, of course, right? But your arrangements are so visual that to me they're the metaphor in the, contrasting with the simple lyrics.
I mean, when you said about everything's going to be okay and that's like a friend, the way, you know, when I first, like, we spoke about this song, I know that when you're in a very dark place and a difficult place, sometimes all you need is to have somebody just look at you and hold you and say, just trust, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And it's just the repeat of that. And for me, when I hear this song, sometimes people hold on. And sometimes also when you say trust and let go, it's kind of let the tears flow. Just like release. Like I would imagine a song like this for me, if I heard it and I'd been holding onto something for a long time, it may be that just one gentle push that allows me to relax and let go.
It's a wash.
It's a wash. Yeah. It's a trust. Yeah. It's everything's going to be okay. Mm. Or to dance it, because it's got a lot of beats. So it's to have that place where you're just in that, you know, spontaneous dance and just let go.
I can see the video now.
Exactly.
Out in a field somewhere.
We've got it. We've done it.
Outdoors for sure.
And we got a tweet in from Heather. Your songs are so visual and cinematic, totally transportative.
Transportative.
Thank you, Heather.
Oh,
beautiful.
That's a big word.
Thank you very much, Heather.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
It's a lot of words to use in a tweet.
Yeah. I actually have one minor suggestion. If you're willing to.
Trust is a good time because we're still finalizing.
Okay, fine. Okay, so.
You
can take this good idea. Okay, so the main hook, if you will, the trust and let go, you can let go. The melody, you're putting the long notes on you can and trust and then you're going quickly over let go. It's like you.
And the let go is the more important message.
Let go.
Or equally important.
Right. So I would actually elongate the melody on the let go and shorten the can and the and. Because the let go is the important part.
Yeah.
So why not pull that out? And
trust and let go. Stretch it out.
Stretch it out.
So it feels like letting go. That's a cool idea.
Mm-hmm. Actually, in the loop of the mantra, what we probably could do is if it can fit, that the end could do that because it's the final point.
Yes. Yeah,
it'd be nice to hear a shift over the – like one of the things I love is to see progression through a song of a repeating pattern that not only progresses but morphs and changes and grows.
I'm into evolution, definitely.
Yeah, like I can hear that as a producer, and I wonder if maybe just get the lyrics around that too. Maybe let go of the lyric and allow it to change a little bit as the song progresses, right?
Interestingly enough, for a song about letting go, it's actually not very free.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because if you look at your lyrics, I mean, you have, you know, you have a lot of repetition of the form. Like, because you have a good voice, and I could see you actually being able to kind of, at the end, kind of maybe letting go and adding some free form.
Kind of thing.
But there's actually almost no freedom in this song. Everything is very structured, and that's a problem. I mean, when you have those big harmonies, you have to be kind of...
Yeah, I think the reason in it is because... I completely there's parts when I thought about that and we had talked about it, but the song is a bit of a mantra and mantra
it is it's like an ambient kind of mantra.
It needs to be repeated and if it's going to be a mantra it's going to create a kind of like altered state that they're going to stay in,
exactly.
Then it's perfect for that. But I think Phil's talking about something where maybe with another song you can try
keep the thing going, but then
you have this song already, but then the vocal takes off very freely over top.
I think the mantra is made by Toyota, isn't it?
No, that's the Metro.
That's the Metro.
We do actually have another song which I do like go off and ad-lib and everything at the end. So that, as we spoke about, each song kind of births itself and progresses and you kind of feel into how it goes. This song really did feel like yes, it needs to be a mantra. I'm just holding you. Just it's almost like a rocking of like, you're here, you're okay. You're okay.
Yeah, and,
it,
and the fact that it just doesn't change is the part that feels good for the listener, the trust, right? Because you're safe.
Exactly.
And when the world's changing so much, if you're going through some trauma or something, all you want is some safe place, something that doesn't change. Yeah. Right?
And in this one, and because for myself, a lot of mantra music I can't stand because I find it boring as hell, just for myself.
This
everybody
is not
uses
boring,
it. No. And so I wanted to create a mantra that we could have the mantra in there and I would evolve it in another way. So I evolved it in the growing harmonies, in the harmonic building.
And you do actually,
are you familiar with a band called Loop Gurus? You should check them out. You
Loop
like
Gurus.
Loop Gurus. Yeah, they're very, they have a lot of Indian kind of qualities to them.
But you guys have actually got that second part, the you know, just believe you can.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes on kind of repetitive too, but at least it gives us a kind of a B section.
And then it
stacks up, right? So
I love that, that whole thing of what you've maybe created a new category, which we call Medertainment.
Mantertainment.
So it's meditative or mantra-like, and it keeps you engaged. It's, you don't fall asleep.
Mantertainment, all yoga, all the time.
Yes. Right here on CJRU, 1280 AM in Toronto.
Breathe it in.
I think, you know, the other mantras, even though it's like Sean said, some of them he finds boring, I mean, they have their purpose in that they take people into that trance-like space.
And that's the whole point of mantras. Yeah, exactly. It's supposed to be boring.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, no, it's not so much that
there's not a lot of action films that are mantras because they just don't work.
Yes. Like, you know. And that was the trick, is to create a mantra that was not boring, that I enjoyed, but I never left state.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Every song has a purpose, right?
Every song has a purpose. And those songs that are those mantras that go on and on and on and do take people in that meditative space is just beautiful.
Uh-oh.
What?
Yeah. I think the band wants to go home.
Oh, are we running out of time?
We are.
Phil hears the band first. They just come into the other studio and start playing.
Just one final bit of feedback on that song. I think what does carry that song through is actually the beat. Because it keeps it driving and keeps it from getting kind of too nebulous. Very cool. All right, so that is all the time we have. This has been Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. We'd like to thank our guests, Unleashed Dreams.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
Something very different from our normal fare here on
Cicero. No folk music.
And Neil, to note, when the new version of Trust comes out, you're probably going to like it a lot better because it has a lot more live instruments as part of the mantra.
Cool.
Neil's a drummer, so he loves the rhythm section.
Yep. Yeah. I love all that stuff. Please send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio, via email at feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, stop by the site, songtalk.ca. Also subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes, and don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca, which is coming out very, very soon.
It is, I promise.
And there's a great article by Neil about how to write more different kinds of things.
Yeah, thinking outside the box a little bit.
That's it.
You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable Meetup, Thursday, April 20th. From 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transat Club. That's in the annex area of Toronto.
That's me. Yeah.
Is that you? You're going to be hosting that?
Yeah, I'm going to be hosting that one.
That'll make
a rare week appearance for me.
Yes.
Yes. A weekday appearance.
Yes. It's free to join a meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details. Thank you to CJRU 1280
AM. Thank you.
And Mike's dancing away on me. In Toronto for putting up with us, especially our station's technical officer, Michael Newton, and our program director, Alyssa Matthews. We'd like to thank Vanessa Reland for
thank
so deftly
Vanessa.
Handling.
Yeah.
Tweeting away here. She's
we
been
love
tweeting.
You.
And thanks to Phil for doing double duty on tech tonight.
Yes, thank Phil. Woo!
That's enough.
And most of all, we'd like to thank you, our dedicated home listeners. If you're on Twitter, you can follow Phil.
At the Phil Emery.
Follow Bruce.
At Bruce Harrett.
Vanessa.
Sunny underscore Vanessa.
And Unleashed Dreams, you guys Twitter?
Yes.
Twitter?
Yeah. So at the moment, we haven't been able to get the Unleashed Dreams full Twitter, so we've got Unleashed Duo.
That works too.
Unleashed Duo.
Unleashed Duo.
For Twitter.
And you can follow myself, Neil, at neilmodi_.com and spell out the .com. And please stop by the website, songtalk.ca, browse past shows, check out the videos, find out how you can be a guest on the show. That's all, folks. Tune in next week. Same
good
song
night,
time,
everyone.
Same channel. Good night.
Good night.